ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम्।
भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द प्रचेतस टेक्स्ट नंबर 41।
मनु स्वयंभूर्भगवान् भवश्च येने तपो ज्ञान विशुद्ध सत्वान् अदृष्टपारो अपि यन्महिम्नो स्तुवन्ततो त्वात्मसमं गृहीणाम्।
Translation: Dear Lord, even great yogis and mystics who are very much advanced by virtue of austerities and knowledge, and who have completely situated themselves in pure existence, as well as great personalities like Manu, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, cannot fully understand your glories and potencies. Nonetheless, they have offered their prayers according to their own capacities. In the same way, we, although much lower than those personalities, also offer our prayers according to our own capability. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Manu, the father of mankind, great saintly persons and also great sages who have elevated themselves to the transcendental platform through austerities and penance, as well as devotional service, are imperfect in knowledge compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the case with anyone within the material world. No one can be equal to the Supreme Lord in anything, certainly not in knowledge. Consequently, anyone's prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never complete. It is not possible to measure the complete glories of the Supreme Lord, who is unlimited. Even the Lord Himself in His incarnation as Ananta or Shesha cannot describe His own glories. Although Ananta has many thousands of faces and has been glorifying the Lord for many, many years, he could not find the limit of the glories of the Lord. Thus, it is not possible to estimate the complete potencies and glories of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, everyone in devotional service can offer essential prayers to the Lord. Everyone is situated in a relative position and no one is perfect in glorifying the Lord. Beginning with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva down to ourselves, everyone is a servant of the Supreme Lord. We are all situated in relative positions according to our own karma. Yet every one of us can offer prayers with heart and soul, as far as we can appreciate the Lord's glories. That is our perfection. Even when one is in the darkest region of existence, he is allowed to offer prayers to the Lord according to his own capacity. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita, Mami partha vipashritya episyu papayo naya striyo vaishyav tata shudra tepiyanti paramgatim. O son of Pita, those who take shelter in me, although they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, as well as shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. Bhagavad Gita 9.32. If one seriously accepts the lotus feet of the Lord, he is purified by the grace of the Lord and by the grace of the Lord's servant. This is confirmed by Sukhdev Goswami. Ene cha papa yad apashrushya shudyanti tasmai prabhu vishnave nama. Bhagavatam 2.4.18. One is brought under the lotus feet of the Lord by the endeavor of the Lord's servant, the spiritual master, he is certainly immediately purified. However low-born he may be, he becomes eligible to return home, back to Godhead. A person was being tried by the court of law for his crime. For the judge asked him, "Tell me for sure, have you committed the crime?" For the person, he said, "Yes and no." For the judge got angry at this vague reply. So he said, "Okay, how often do you steal? How often do you commit this theft?" Again this man said, "Well, I steal now and then." Again the judge got irritated, but he kept quiet. Then he said, "Okay, where do you steal?" He said, "I steal here and there." Finally, the judge said, "Okay, sentence him to rigorous imprisonment." The man said, "But when will you release me?" The judge said, "Don't worry, we'll release you sooner or later." So this is the whole idea. A devotee might be complacent and lackluster in his devotional service, just pulling along. And if he claims, or if he desires to know when he will go back to Godhead, Krishna also says the same thing, sooner or later. For there is no alternative to being intense in devotional service. Therefore, in this section which we are reading, some of the most wonderful prayers offered by the Prachetas, they are glorifying Krishna and Krishna's devotees. We have read in the recent past how in one of the prayers they say, Parijata Anjasa Labdha Saranga Anyona Sevate. Just like a bumblebee, once it has got attracted to Parijata tree, it doesn't go anywhere else. Similarly, once a devotee gets the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, it doesn't need to go anywhere else. Also, they pray, Tulayama Lave Napi Naswargam Napunar Bhavam. They say that one moment of association with the Lord's pure devotee cannot be compared with anything else in this world. So we are continuing with these ecstatic prayers. And in today's prayer also, they are emphasizing on how we should pray to the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada also writes in the purport, everyone in devotional service, whoever he is, can offer prayers to the Lord. So we should offer prayers. Of course, the subject of prayers is lifetimes beyond my present level of realization. But I have compiled some notes from some of the realizations that senior devotees have shared here. So I would like to speak in this assembly. What is prayer? Prayer occurs when we break through the material covering and actually speak to Krishna. We chant his holy names and enter the spirit of all the shlokas that we are chanting. Therefore, prayer means it's not a mechanical act, it is a wholehearted act. Of course, somebody might misquote Srila Prabhupada by saying that Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. Generally, we make this statement insensitively because if we want to practice devotional service in the long run, if we want to have a long career in devotional service, we have to learn how to pray. There are some who also challenge that, anyway, Krishna anyway knows everything that is there in our heart. So why should we pray? This is also an argument given by those who are not inclined to pray. But we should understand that Krishna is very pleased when we use our free will, when he is seeing that we are using our free will to actually spend some time with him, to be affectionate towards Krishna. And when we are expressing our desire to increase our devotional service, Krishna becomes very pleased. So logically then the next question that arises is, how do we pray? So Jesus Christ, he gave a nice story of two men, two Jews. One was a priest, nobleman, and the other was a common man. For this priest was praying to the Lord, and he was saying, my Lord, I thank you that I am not like these rogues and thieves here. I thank you, O Lord, that I am not like this poor man there. I thank you that I am not like him. I am fasting twice a week. I thank you that I am able to give donation to you. So his prayer was full of I. So, and this common man, he was saying, O Lord, please have mercy on this sinful person. And he was begging. So this first person, he was actually kind of showing a movie about himself to the Lord. He was on the center stage. The spotlight was on him. And he was claiming that he was like a kind of hero of the prayers. For Jesus said that we cannot have prayers which is impregnated with pride. Therefore, God is not concerned if our prayers are simply full of stylish words, or we are chanting some prayers in nice melody, or we are having a very scholarly presentation of the Shastras. No. Therefore, Jesus Christ said, thank you, O Lord, for keeping this knowledge a secret from the wise and intelligent, and revealing it to those who are simple and innocent. And this mood of simple, innocent prayer is revealed by one of the most tragic and heroic figures who is coming out of the most explosive era of Indian history, Mahabharat, and that is the great saintly devotee, Queen Kunti. The scene is set after the war, 18 days war, the Kauravas are devastated And one of the last surviving warriors from the Kaurava side, Ashwatthama, he also beheads the sleeping sons of Draupadi. And this is the final blow to Queen Kunti, seeing her own grandchildren being killed. After this, Ashwatthama is dragged like a pet animal. He is brought in front of Yudhishthir Bhima. And by the astounding compassion of Draupadi, he is released. But being shameless, Ashwatthama makes one more attempt to kill the child who is in the womb of Uttara. And then Krishna with his Sudarshan disc, he protects this unborn child from the heat and radiation of the Brahmastra. Thus, having completed all his duties, Krishna is now going back to Dwarka. And now, this is the scene that is set. And Kunti Devi, she is feeling intense separation from Krishna. Because she is seeing that Krishna is now going away. Prabhupada says, Kunti's separation is like that of a fish who is out of water. She is trembling. She is experiencing a thunderbolt of separation. And her prayers are oriented, are targeted. She has an agenda to somehow stop Krishna from going. For these prayers are simple outpourings from a very devotional heart. So they reveal two things. One is they have deep transcendental emotions. At the same time, these prayers also give the most profound philosophical truths. So in her prayers, she is addressed as Sati, because Sati generally means one is very chaste. And because she is very chaste to Krishna, she is called as Sati. And she begins her prayers by first glorifying Krishna. She says, Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord. You are both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to everybody. Alaksham sarva bhutanam. And why is Krishna invisible to everybody? That she reveals in the next verse. Krishna is not known to everybody because there is this curtain of deluding energy, Maya, which covers the living entities. And just like an actor performs a theatrical role in the stage and nobody can recognize him, similarly, Kunti Devi says, nobody can recognize Krishna. Nato natya dharo yatha. He is like an expert actor. So then the question arises, if nobody can see Krishna, if Krishna is invisible, who can actually see Krishna? What is the qualification to see Krishna? Kunti Devi says that bhakti yoga vidanartham katam pashye mahistriya tata paramahansanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartham katam pashye mahistriya. Krishna can be known only by the process of bhakti yoga. And then she says in utter humility, how can I know you? Katam pashye maistri, I am an insignificant woman. So she is actually revealing her rightful claim to know Krishna by her humility. So she is saying, by devotional service you can be known, Krishna, but I cannot know you because I am a lowly woman. But by this, she has won Krishna's heart. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that simplicity of the acceptance of Lord's authority is much, much more effective than showy, insincere, religious fervor. Somebody might be very scholarly, but he can't claim to know Krishna. Like one time, one Christian priest was sent to heaven and Saint Peter gave him a mansion. But he was angry because he saw that one taxi driver also was in heaven and he had a bigger mansion than him. So he told Saint Peter, what is this? I have been a devotee whole life and you have given me a smaller mansion. So Saint Peter said, you would only give lectures in the church and people would go off to sleep when you would give lectures. But this taxi driver would drive in such a way that whoever was traveling with him would helplessly cry out the Lord's holy names. So he made more people God conscious. So simply if somebody is giving powerful lecture, does not mean that he has won the heart of Krishna. So she is instructing us how to approach Krishna. We should approach Krishna by first glorifying Krishna. Generally we approach Krishna, at least I can speak for myself, we have all our demands written down already. You know, I want this, I want this, I want this. We take it off paper, amari mange puri karo. I want this, oh Krishna, I want this. But she is first glorifying Krishna. She is establishing his supremacy. And then she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama. She's Krishna, Kunti Devi is adoring Krishna's pastime as Krishna, because she knows, she has already established Krishna as Supreme Lord. She knows that Krishna is Supreme Purusha. And she also said Krishna is Alaksham, invisible. And now she is saying Krishna is Vasudev, is son of Vasudev, is dear to Devaki, is son of Nand Maharaj, is very dear to the Gopas, and Govindaya Namo Nama. He is the enlivener of all the cows and the senses. Now Kunti Devi, she is adoring Krishna's incarnation the most, because she knows that in Krishna's incarnation, Krishna is most approachable. Like Krishna also came as Lord Ramchandra. But as Lord Ramchandra, he always remained in Ayodhya only as the son of a king. But Krishna, he was the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, but he immediately left for Vrindavan to play in the lap of Yashoda Mai and thus sanctify the land of Vrindavan by his presence and by his pastimes. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they are more fortunate than even Devaki, because they could relish Krishna's childhood pastimes, and these pastimes of baby Krishna, they are most attractive. And also by this pair, Kunti Devi is defeating all the Mayavadis. Because Mayavadis also, they might hear the word Alaksham, which Kunti Devi earlier uses to say how Krishna is invisible. For the Mayavadis also might say the absolute truth is having formless, no form. And now she is saying Vasudev. Vasudev also means all pervading. For the Mayavadis like to use these terms. So therefore she is saying Krishna is Vasudev, son of Vasudev. She is saying three times. Is Vasudev, is Devaki Nandan, is Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, is Govindaya. She is establishing Krishna's position. In fact, Devaki Nandan is also found in Atharva Veda. And Kunti Devi is knowing very well that Krishna always likes to be connected with his devotees. Therefore, she is praying like this. That Vasudeva, Devaki Nandan. Prabhupada writes there that ordinary men in the material world, we pray to Krishna as being father. But Krishna is more pleased when he is considered as a son. Because father means always being irritated by the son. Give me this, give me that. But Krishna becomes more happy when pure devotees take a superior position. This is the advantage of following Queen Kunti's footsteps. That is, we come to know what Krishna likes. Who is Krishna? Who is God? What is his identity? Just like if you meet someone, we generally ask him, what is your father's name? What is your mother's name? What is your address? So Kunti Devi, through our prayers, we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, we get God's identity. We get his name, his father's name, his mother's name, his address. I'm not sure if his email address is given. But everything about Krishna is given. It is established that Krishna is a person. For the impersonal, they have to run for cover, because they have no place in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no place for ambiguity in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the mood of a pure devotee. He always wants to glorify Krishna. He wants to praise Krishna. As a jet age Parivrajakacharya, Prabhupada was traveling from Sydney in 1971, May, June. He was traveling from Sydney to Calcutta, Calcutta to Moscow, then Paris, then San Francisco, then Los Angeles. And for only one day he went to Paris, and that day they had organized a big program in the biggest auditorium of Paris, Olympia Theatre. It had a capacity of more than 2,000 people, and only 40 people came. Prabhupada was unaffected. He was glorifying Krishna, he led Kirtan, and the program ended at 1 o'clock in the night. Next day Prabhupada was up at 5 o'clock translating. And even in the initial days at New York, we have heard how Prabhupada was told to speak in one of the biggest auditoriums, Hudson Hall, where thousands of people could come, but only 3 people came. But Prabhupada was undaunted. He could perceive the presence of demigods there. Therefore, when one devotee once complained that, you know, nobody is coming, Prabhupada said, I am not concerned if nobody accepts Krishna consciousness. I simply want to glorify Krishna. I will shout at the top of my voice to the sun, the moon, in the wilderness. Because ultimately I want a certificate from Krishna that this man tried to preach Krishna consciousness. We don't want certificate from a pack of donkeys, Prabhupada said. Therefore, pure devotee always glorifies Krishna, and Kunti Devi, after glorifying, she also glorifies Krishna's devotee. In her prayer, she is saying that how Yashoda, she was bewildered, she was chasing after you, Krishna, with a stick, and the black mascara from your eyes fell on, because of your tears, fell on your reddish cheeks, and you look very beautiful, and this sight is bewildering to me. She is praying like this. So she is revealing how a pure devotee actually forgets the position of Supreme Lord. And also Prabhupada writes that Krishna accepts chastisements from his devotees and reproaches of his fiancés more cheerfully and palatably than the chanting of Vedic hymns. And thus Kunti Devi also reveals how Yashoda is more fortunate than her also, because if Yashoda was aware how Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then she would have hesitated to punish Krishna. Therefore, Kunti Devi is indirectly glorifying how Yashoda could even control the Supreme Lord. And after glorifying Krishna, Kunti Devi instructs us on the other important element of prayers, and that is to express gratitude, to thank Krishna when we come in front of him. Yatha Rishikesha Khalena Devaki Kamse Naruddhati Chiram Sucharpita Vimochitaham Chasahatmaja Vibho Tvaye Vanathe Namuhur Vipadganat. She is saying, Krishna, you have protected Devaki from the envious Kamsa, and you also protected me and all my children always. Tvaye Vanathe Namuhur Vipadganat. From so many reversals and tragedies, you have always protected us. So, thanking the Lord is also an important element of prayer. And the biggest lesson we can learn from all these past so-called Greek, Roman civilizations, which have all perished now, the lesson we can learn from them is ingratitude. How, because of ingratitude, how they were devastated. Even modern day people, a man might pose to be a big scientist, and if he is thirsty, if somebody gives him a glass of water, he will spontaneously say thank you. So thanking is very natural. But unfortunately, for such a scientist, his gentlemanly behavior ends there. He doesn't go ahead of that. Because he doesn't realize that Krishna is giving so much unlimited rain, heat, light. But he will never thank the Lord. So this is the nature of a conditioned soul. Like one Prabhupada disciple was once saying, that if we can't thank Krishna for what he has given us, at least we should thank him for what we have escaped. So many things we could have, worse things we could have got. And then you are saying that there is at least one thing you can thank Krishna, that only you and Krishna know all the facts about yourself. At least for this we can thank. So gratitude is an important element of prayer. I came across a nice quotation which said, I had no shoes and I complained until I met a man who had no feet. Therefore we have got so many blessings of the Lord and we should thank. But just like in the jungles we see, the hunters go, they want honey. Everybody is interested in the honey, nobody bothers about the bees who have made it. The same way in this world, everybody is interested in honey, acquiring things, enjoying. Nobody is interested in who is supplying it. Nobody wants to know. Therefore Kunti Devi is saying we should thank Krishna. One time one devotee asked His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, when we come in front of Radha Gopinath ji, what we should pray? So he said, you should first of all tell the Lord that, Radha Gopinath ji, I am very grateful to you, because actually with my eyes I deserve to see Yamdutas, but you are so merciful that you are revealing your wonderful form. So you should thank. Even Jananivas Prabhu was once asked, what should we do when we come in front of the deities? He said, you should actually faint, you should fall unconscious. But that's not possible because we don't have that pure devotion. At least we can thank Krishna. And in that purport, Prabhupada makes a beautiful transcendental comparison between Devaki and Kunti. He says, Devaki had Krishna as a child, but Kunti Devi is in one sense more fortunate. She got more favor of Krishna than Devaki was. because he says, because Krishna did not protect all sons of Devaki, but he protected the sons of Kunti. And the reason for that is, Devaki's husband Vasudeva was alive, but Kunti Devi had no one to depend on except Krishna. So Krishna puts a lot of trouble, distress in a devotee's life, so that he can completely take shelter of Krishna. And then he, Prabhupada, gives the definition of success. Therefore, if you are more and more attached to Krishna, that is the definition of success. If you are successful in life, if you can somehow get attached to Krishna. So after praising the Lord, glorifying the Lord, and after expressing our gratitude, then we may also make a requisition to the Lord. Yes, Krishna, I want this, this, this. And in this, of course, we may not imitate Queen Kunti, but we can definitely know, it's very interesting to know what she demands from the Lord. She is saying, Krishna, give me more and more troubles. Because she says, Bhavato darshanam esya dapunar bhavadarshanam. Because when I get more and more troubles, I get your wonderful darshan. And getting your darshan means, no more seeing of repeated birth and death. And then she prays to Krishna that, my dear Krishna, sneha pasham idam sindhi, dridam pandushu vrishnishu. Cut off all my attachments from my family members and let me have complete unalloyed devotion towards you. Here also we should know that Queen Kunti is not negating all the finer elements like attachment, desires, because that is not possible. Consciousness means there has to be all these desires, these emotions have to be there, but the objective has to be changed. Instead of material attachments, we have to have attachment towards Krishna. Prabhupada says there that this is a skin disease. Material skin relation is the cause of material bondage. Therefore, we have to be attached to Krishna. Like if a person, he resigns from a job because of some inconvenience, then he just can't be sitting idle. He has to have some other job or some other engagement. Similarly, Mayavadis, they might give up everything. They might say, we want to cut off all attachments. But then after renouncing the world as Maya, they'll take up, they'll open some hospitals, some schools. So therefore, this kind of detachment is not what Kunti Devi is saying. Kunti Devi is saying, I want to be attached to you. Tvai me ananya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit rati mudvahata daddha gange vogam mudanvati. She says, let me have unalloyed attraction towards you, O Krishna. Rati mudvahata daddha. Let my attraction be so intense like gange vogam mudanvati. Like the Ganges flows unhindered towards the ocean. Let my attraction towards you flow like that. So pure devotee only desires pure devotional service. Prabhupada gives the example of the Second World War. How during the Second World War, the German women, they would pray to the Lord. Oh Lord, they would go to church and say, God, if you are there, please help our husbands come back. But of course, we know Germany was completely defeated in the war and all the German soldiers died. And then Prabhupada says, all these women became atheists. Therefore, we have to pray for pure devotional service. And then, in this purport, Prabhupada says that pure devotee is not a mercantile community. They don't have business dealings with Krishna. In one lecture we were hearing on Monday morning, Prabhupada is saying, gopis, they never wanted anything from Krishna. When Krishna would go to the forest, they would only be concerned if the pebbles would hit Krishna. And when Krishna would come back, they were not running towards him and checking his pockets. Krishna, show me your pocket. What have you bought for us? No, they were not asking like that. They would decorate themselves nicely so that they could give pleasure to Krishna. So this is the mood of a pure devotee. Then somebody might say, what is the secret? How can we develop this attachment towards Krishna? How can we intensify our attachment? Kunti Devi prays, Janmeshwarya Shuta Shri Biryedamana Madappuman Naivarati abhidhatum vai tvamakinchana gocharam. To develop unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, attraction to Krishna, there are some hindrances. Because we can call out to Krishna only if we call his name sincerely, with feeling. And the hindrances for this is Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribir. High parentage and high learning, opulences, beauty. These are hindrances. Because a person cannot call out to Krishna with feeling. Therefore, Kunti Devi says, Naivarati abhidhatum vai tvam akinchana gocharam. You are the property of the materially impoverished person. Because modern civilization, there is complete madness. There is madness to acquire goods and acquire position. And as a result of this, a person gets artificially puffed up. He gets a little intoxicated, he starts thinking he's great. And thus, because of that, he can't feelingly utter Krishna's name. Of course, Krishna's holy name is all powerful. But there is a quality to such uttering also. A helpless man, he can call out to Krishna far more effectively than a person who is very satisfied in life. I remember I had one friend in college. He was quite a prosperous fellow. And we were once going in car. He had his own export business. So the traffic stoplight, one beggar came and said, "Give me money." So this friend of mine, Vikas, he said, why are you begging? See, you do like this, you come to my office. I'll give you food twice a day. I'll give you clothes. I'll give you a place to stay. And I'll also give you 3,000 rupees per month. So this boy immediately shot back. If you come and join me, I'll give you 5,000 rupees every month. So he was shocked. And of course, he vowed never to give alms to a beggar again. The point is, if you are begging and you are also at the same time holding on, I have this thing, then that begging will not attract the Lord's mercy. One rich man, he had written one letter in the newspaper, how his, when he was going in the car, his AC got spoiled, so he had put the window shutter down. And one beggar came and said, "Give me alms." So he says, I told the boy, "Chutta nahi hai, get lost." And when the signal turned green, this boy, he threw 1 rupee coin inside the car and he said, "You don't have change? Keep this." You know? So this man was writing that how these beggars are also so proud and so egoistic. So we might claim that, "Krishna, I don't have anything, give me." But at the same time, I have my degrees, I have my PhD, MBA, and I am giving so much, I am doing so much for the temple. But therefore, one has to have a complete helpless mood. So the next question is, how can we develop this attachment to Krishna? So Kundalini is saying, when we call out to Krishna with feeling, and we can call out to Krishna with feeling when we increase our dependence on him. Kunjadevi is completely dependent on Krishna. She says, "Apyadyanastvam svakrite hita prabho jihasasi sve suhurdo nujivina esham na chanyat bhavata padam bhujat parayanam rajasu yojitam hasam." She is saying, "Krishna, now you are going away when we are completely dependent on you. And at a time when everybody is in enmity with us, you are leaving us alone. You can't do this." So as she is expressing her dependence, in the material world we know that dependence is called the sign of misfortune. If you are very dependent on somebody, it's not considered good. But when it comes to relation with Krishna, one has to be completely dependent. Because the material nature is so cruel, she will never allow us to be independent. Prabhupada gives the example of Ravana. He says, just like Ravana was trying to make staircase to the heaven, the modern scientists, they are trying to have interplanetary travel, trying to go to Mars, Moon. These are all foolish attempts. They will be crushed. Therefore, we have to learn dependence on Krishna. Like one time, one policeman, he caught a thief. And he said, "You accept that you have stolen, because I have evidence." The thief said, "I have more evidence that I have not stolen." So the thief said, the policeman said, "I can produce 10 people who have actually seen you stealing." So the thief said, "I can produce 100 people who have not seen me stealing." So this is the stubbornness of a materialistic person. There is evidence. There is birth, there is death, there is adhyatmik, adhidevi, klesh. You are being crushed. But still, no, I am independent. I will not surrender to Krishna. Therefore, highest achievement of perfect civilization is when we are working hard, at the same time completely we are depending on Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example of Pandavas. He says Pandavas were not idle parasites. They were completely dependent on Krishna. Therefore, a devotee should learn this. Once one devotee was telling Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, I don't like to stay in temple because there is so much anxiety in services. I prefer to go out in Sankirtan. It's very peaceful." So while conversing with him, Prabhupada said, "Our process is to be completely absorbed in Krishna. And how can we be absorbed in Krishna? Prabhupada says, we should feel, I can't do anything without your help, O Krishna. Please help me, Krishna. And in this stage of dependence, we can always be absorbed in Krishna. However, when we think I can do independently, we are in anxiety. So Prabhupada told Uttama Shloka Prabhu that our process is to take anxieties for Krishna and then depend completely on Krishna. So we have to increase our attachment to Krishna by calling out to Krishna with feeling, by increasing our dependence on him. And how can we increase our dependence? Kunti Devi says, the ultimate of all prayers, Shunvanti Gayanti Grananta Bhikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti Tavetam Jana. We have to constantly chant and hear Krishna's holy names. For the chanting of Hare Krishna is therefore the most important of all prayers. We have to pray constantly, chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada writes, we should not forget the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra under any circumstances. So when we call out to the Lord, when we take shelter of the holy name, we are able to attract Krishna's mercy. Because the material energy is so strong, it can completely thwart all our plans. So we have to have a prayerful mood and attitude. Recently I remember one devotee was introducing his small child to all the brahmacharis. Some 10 of us were standing. And he was telling this baby was not even 2 years old. He was telling the baby, come on, say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But this child was refusing to speak. He was just quiet. And he was saying, say Hare Krishna. And finally when the child spoke, he said, Main hoon na. He spoke about a film. And then the father was very embarrassed. He said, no, no, say Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And finally after a long time of saying Hari Bol, Hari Bol, finally the child was quiet. And the child said, I love you. So again everybody was embarrassed. What is this child learning? And then he said again something, and then again the child said, Kali Yuga 5000 or something. And finally the father had to take the child away because he was tackling of all film names. So he was so apologetic that we are trying our best to inculcate Krishna conscious samskaras, but the impressions are so strong, the outside world is so strong. Therefore when we develop a prayerful mood and attitude, it has many benefits, and chief of them is our own purity level will increase. Because we can then perceive Krishna's presence in our own lives. And when we perceive Krishna's presence in our lives, when we go out and give Krishna to others, others will believe us. And then even if we face opposition and atheistic people, we'll have the resilience to withstand that. We'll have the strength to face opposition. Thus, prayers constitute an integral part of a devotee's life. So let us all pray and joyfully execute Krishna consciousness together in this Sangha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions, comments? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.